One of my favorite movie quotes of all time, your mission, I guess it kind of depends on which generation of Mission Impossible you've watched, your mission, should you choose to accept it. And since my love language is actually dad jokes, I can't tell you the number of times like I will ask someone to do something with that phrase like, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to wash the dishes in the sink. And my kids are like, really? Like, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to stand right here and pass out these bulletins. Really, Pastor? Like, yeah, that's my love language. Like, I love the phrase, I love this idea. And I think when you think about it in context, like missions really are a big deal. Like, there is something woven into our DNA to where we want to be a part of something bigger than me. Like it's like generational. It's all encompassing. Like there is something about being a part of something that's greater than me, achieving more than I can do on my own, being a part of something that does greater things than I could do. Like there's science to back it up, and there's even some science to back up the idea that if we don't satisfy that we will get desperate in our looking for something that provides that value, that fulfillment in me, that I'm part of something bigger, that I'll make a difference. And really, it's become very well known in the last decade that lots of people have signed up to be part of a movement, part of a cause that they don't even agree with, but they just want to matter. I want to be part of a mission. I want to be part of something that has a bigger impact than just me. I want to be part of something greater. I want to know that at the end of the day that I contributed to something that changed. I want to know that my life had purpose. I want to know that in all of what's going on in the world that there's some specific reason why I'm here and I got to play a part and the mission went further even in the small part that I played. And if you're a follower of Jesus, like this is specific to us. Your mission, should you choose to accept it. Like as Jesus followers, Scripture gives us very in-depth, specific instruction to the mission that Jesus has called us to go to people that are far from God and bring them to Him, to go to people that are following Jesus and disciple them, to go and to change the world. Last week, if you were here, we asked God to awaken us to His perspective. There is no greater thing on this planet than to know that our name has been registered in heaven. Jesus came and did so many amazing things, but His primary goal was to save us to eternity with our Heavenly Father. Like, this was the reason, this was the deal, but if that was the only thing, wouldn't it make sense that if Jesus' job was only to bring us into a relationship, to a closeness where we could be forgiven and accepted into an eternity with the Father, if that was the only objective for why we exist, was to come to know God and to be in heaven with Him, wouldn't God just scoop us right up on the moment of our salvation? Like when we invited and trusted Jesus to be our Savior, it would make sense if that was the only purpose that God would have just taken us up right then before we had to experience any more bad, before something could have gone wrong. Like that would make sense. But here's what I'm fairly certain of this morning. I think I woke up this morning and I'm not still dreaming. And if you're still here and you're a Jesus follower, there's a reason we're still here. There's a purpose behind it. In fact, as a Christian, until we take our final breath on this planet, there is purpose to why God has chosen to leave us here. God does not operate in accidents. God does not buy into coincidence. Never before has God had a conversation with Himself to think, you know, I'd never thought about that before. Everything God has done and will ever do is intentional. God is specific in what He does. So our prayer today is simply this: God, awaken us to Your mission. And even more specific than that, God, awaken me to Your purpose for me today. It's such a powerful, powerful prayer. If you've been to church before, if you've gone to a church gathering before, if you've been more than one or two times to a church service, I would probably almost guarantee at some point you've heard phrases like, we as Christians are to be ambassadors for Jesus. Very true. We as believers, we are to represent Jesus to all people, per Jesus' own instruction, to go into all the world and make disciples in all the nations. We have a mission. And for the most part, like we like the mission. We know the mission. We believe in the mission. But for the most part, it seems as though when we understand and we believe and we know and we like the mission, we have a tendency to tell Jesus, no, I don't choose to accept it. Well, Pastor, what are you talking about? Hold on, I'm pointing the thumb more than I'm pointing the finger today. But for whatever reason, we have this tendency that when we understand the mission that Jesus has called us to, we don't want to accept the mission. We want to achieve our own mission. We want to do these things like by nature. I mean, just as people, not even as Christians, but by nature, we're pretty good at like saying yes to people. When someone asks us to do something, we're not like typically mean about it. Like, Dad, will you help me with my homework? No. I achieved third grade on my own. You can do the same. Good luck. Like, excuse me, would you care to help me move? No, I don't care that much about you. You can move yourself. Get a job and hire some people. Like we are typically pretty good about, babe, would you take the trash out? No, somebody else will do it. We're pretty good about responding with, yes, I'll do what you ask me to do. I mean, as often as we get asked, like we do this, and all throughout the New Testament is woven in this mission, this task, this purpose that Jesus has called us to. And most of the time, we say no. I mean, we would never be like, no, Jesus, I ain't doing that. But our actions, or maybe our lack of actions, or maybe we justify it, I'm just not ready. I just don't have time. Maybe on another day, maybe when I'm more ready. Listen, this is not like, oh man, pastor's just getting aggressive today. This is like, if we really want Jesus to awaken us to his purpose, we got to be real about evaluating where we are right now. And I think maybe as Christians, we've kind of got complacent enough to say, yeah, that's not for me. Jesus has called me to a mission, and I'm sure that someone is going to pick up that and run with it. And I don't think we understand the importance, the significance, the priority of what it really looks like to run this out. I mean, in our mind, it makes sense. Like, if we understand the scope of this mission, eternities are forever going to be impacted by this mission. So if we think of it in context like that, like there are lots of really big missions that we hear about on this earth. Like the mission to be called to go be a soldier in the military, like that's a big mission. Or the mission to outer space, like that's significant. So realistically, we could come up with some pretty legitimate excuses to why, like I just can't join in this mission right now. Like a soldier going into a war, going into a battle, like there was years and years of training to prepare them for this mission. And people going on a trip to outer space, like astronauts, have dedicated their lives to preparing for this mission. So maybe I just don't feel like I'm prepared enough yet, and then that's probably a valid point. But it's just an excuse. Maybe for some of us, we understand or we think we just don't have much to offer. Like, I would join the mission. I really would. I just don't know what I bring to the table that somebody else isn't already doing. I just don't know what I could do different. I don't know what I could add to. I don't know how I could contribute. I just don't know what I could do to the mission to help bring it forward. Or maybe like me, I'm often intimidated. I mean, there's so much at stake here. Someone's eternity could be in the balance of my engagement in the mission. If I mess up my third grader's homework, the worst I have to do is come up with an excuse of how I couldn't see the problem accurately, or the teacher didn't teach me like she taught you, or I didn't understand that YouTube video, and I have to come up with a definition of how we're going to do better next time. But if I push someone I'm trying to pull closer to Jesus away, it's probably better if I just play it safe, and I don't engage, and I just sit back, and I take care of my four, and no more. And we miss the mission and the purpose to what our God has called us to. Clear down to the specific mission that God has called Crossroads Community Church to. Now listen, like contrary to popular opinion, we happen to believe that all the churches in our community, all the Bible-believing churches who are chasing after Jesus are not our competition. We believe that together we can work to find the lost, to reach the lost, to teach the found, to grow and disciple the found, and to change our world right here around us. We know that we are not in competition with other churches, but in that, God has created a specific mission for this church, Crossroads Community Church, to meet people where they are and help them take their next step with Christ. To meet people right where they are and to help them take their next step with Christ. And if we're going to be honest in our evaluation of where most of us are today, I think maybe an observer might rewrite our mission statement to read more like meeting people where they are and hoping they take their next step with Christ. Like we as believers, we want people to take their next step, but we spend a whole lot more time hoping than we do helping. Listen, again, I'm not trying to beat anybody up, but we have to have an honest evaluation. I think of it like the school teacher evaluating every essay that I ever wrote, like red mark, red mark, red mark, red mark. Ah! But it made me a better writer. It made me better at putting a presentation together. It's because of an honest evaluation I could say, okay, I can get better in this. And that is my prayer. If we really and truly want God to awaken us to his purpose, we can't just pull the wool over our eyes and say we're doing fine. The battle is too important. There's too much at stake. The mission in front of us is too powerful God, awaken us, rattle us, shake us, jar us, whatever you got to do to inspire us to see the urgency of the mission. I believe that today is a marked moment for those of us that have gone through the motions, will follow in Jesus and the mission and the purpose that he calls us to. I believe that intentionally this past season that we've been in the globe has been an easy step into cruise control or idle or neutral when it comes to Christians. I mean, when everything fell apart over a year ago and we were shut down and the world shut down, like immediately all we cared about was what was closest to us. I mean, at the family level, bring my people in, keep them close. At the church level, bring my people in, keep them close. At the somewhat extended family level, bring my people in, keep them close. And we've kind of just got comfortable and complacent saying, we'll take care. If you were here last week, I'd like you to know Fred and Frank are both healthy and living. But we want to take care of the aquarium more so than we want to go fishing for lost souls. Jesus gives us this specific instruction, this mission, he calls us to it, that the church is needed by the world maybe now more than ever. We're closer to the end now than we've ever been. Like, this is legitimate. People are confused. People are lost. People are in panic. They've been deceived. And for some reason, the church, not just Crossroads, but the capital C church, we've been complacent enough to say, I know the answer, but I'm just going to hold off a little bit longer. A few years ago, a good friend of mine came over to the house one day, and he had a screwdriver much like this one, except it was, like, nicer and bigger. This one's kind of cheap. And he came in, and he was like, Luke, this, don't ask questions. I just need you to do me a solid. Here we go. And he hands me a screwdriver, to which I was like, he seems kind of shook up about this. Like, I probably should just take the screwdriver and let it go. It was my first thought, the one I should have stuck with. And instead, I said, bro, why do you want me to hold a screwdriver? He's like, well, it's actually a specific tool, like described it for me, what it would do. And he's like, actually, it was my grandpa. It's very expensive. My grandpa bought it for me. He passed away, so it's got some significance to my heart. And I've got a special place that I hang it in my garage. And I should have left it there, but I was like, well, you didn't answer my question. Why do I need to take it? And he was like, so I'm mowing my yard the other day. And it'd been raining, and he's a farmer. He's like, I've been raining, and I was out in the mud, and man, I just got mud all over the side of my truck. My four-year-old, such a servant, such a good heart, my four-year-old comes up and comes up with this idea, like, I'm going to get the mud off the side of Dad's truck. And the only tool he could reach was a screwdriver. And he's like, and I don't want to be mad at my four-year-old. Take the screwdriver, because every time I see it, oh. Here's what I learned. If we don't know why a tool was specifically designed and created, we will misuse it. If you're taking notes, it's worth writing down. I don't know. If I don't know something's purpose, it's likely I will misuse it. I was going to say, if you're going to be a tool, but not going there. If I don't understand why something was designed, if I don't know why something was created, I will instinctively misuse that tool. This tool was an incredible mechanics tool used in a very specific way, unlike this regular screwdriver. But the four-year-old didn't know that. We thought, hey, this takes the mud right off Dad's truck, both sides and the hood. If we don't understand why something was designed, there's a real good chance we will misuse it or not care about it or not care what's done with it. There's a proverb, Twitter BC, there's a proverb that gives a really simple explanation, and I think this applies to so many things in life. Proverb chapter 29, verse 18 says, where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. Other translations say, where there's no vision, people cast off restraint. Another translation says, where there's no understanding, people will live recklessly. Where there's no understanding of why something was created, when there's no comprehension, no vision of why something was designed, then I could care less about what I do with it or don't do with it. I mean, it applies to so many things in life. When people don't understand the value and the significance and the greatness of intimacy that God created for a husband and wife, they'll cast off restraint. If we don't understand that God designed this to enhance this relationship closer than any other human-to-human relationship on the planet, people cast off restraint. They live recklessly with it. I don't care. Everybody else is doing it. I might as well enjoy it as well. There are so many great things in life that God created specifically designed for this to enhance our connection to God, to enhance our connection to people. And what we do is when we don't understand the purpose of the design, we cast off restraint. We don't put guardrails or boundaries in place. And we live recklessly with the very thing that God created for good. Jesus' primary objective, to come and to save us. God created you and he created me on purpose, with purpose, for purpose. And when I understand why God designed me the way he did, and why I understand why God put me on this planet in this moment, then it makes more sense for me to put guardrails and boundaries and safeguards in place to where I don't live outside of the design that God has and the purpose that God has for me. When I understand how God created integrity to play a vital role in our witness to other people, then I'm willing to do things to live within integrity so that I represent Jesus so well. When I understand the value of honesty and trustworthiness, when I understand the value and the purpose and the design of relationships, it changes the way I live in those things because I know that it's bigger than this. This past week, we've actually had a few babies born into our Crossroads family. There's more than one way to grow a church, am I right? Like, what I didn't do was go and do a survey, do some research, but I have a pretty good understanding, and I believe this to be true. I hear that there's a lot of pain associated with birthing a child. Just going on an assumption. But here's what I know. Knowing that pain is coming, moms could be like, get away from me. Nope, nope, no babies here. But knowing there's purpose on the other side of the pain, we're willing to push through the pain, look past the pain. Because in that purpose of being able to hold your child for the very first time, game changer. All of a sudden, that pain is no longer a memory. That pain is gone. It's over because there's purpose. I get to raise the tiny human. I think that we miss so many times when pain arrives in a relationship, when pain arrives in character development, when pain and frustration and trials arrive, when we don't keep in mind the purpose that it was created for, I'm done with it. And we see marriages fall apart all the time because we don't understand by God's design, you and this person you're married to, God put you together to draw out the best qualities of you and to build the qualities in you that maybe you weren't so good at. And that's hard, and that's painful, and that's challenging. And if I forget, this is why God put us together. This is the purpose and the design of this covenant in marriage. Then I quit. I can't stand this pain, this struggle, this challenge. I'm done. For parents, the purpose of you raising that tiny terror toddler is not to endure your patience. I mean, it helps. It's a bonus. But you're raising a tiny human that will one day and maybe even today change the world. And when we understand the design of what God created parents to be, I'll love a whole lot different. And I'll tolerate and I'll be patient in different ways. It draws me to a whole separate way of living. Purpose is important. The why matters. Purpose, by definition, is simply the intent for which something was created. Purpose matters. You have an incredible purpose that the God of the universe, who breathed the stars into existence, has sown and woven into who you are for today, for tomorrow, for eternity. And when we understand who we are and whose we are and the design intricacies he took to build us, it changes the way we live. If you ever want to pick a fight with me, I would offer a few phrases to get me going. Just follow your heart. You do you. And do whatever makes you happy. Ugh! Man, what a selfish, self-centered, prideful, proud. Listen, if we live in that mindset, we cast off any restraint of how what I want affects anybody else. And I know we live in a culture and a time and a place and a part of the world where we want to be told and we want to believe because it's kind of fun to believe. We just follow our heart, chase after our own dreams, and do whatever makes me happy. And we just throw away whatever that does to other relationships, other people, and the people that get trampled on in the meantime. When I am a follower of Christ, there is a surrender that happens. I surrender my life to him, which means I surrender my plans, and I surrender my purposes, and I surrender my practices for God's purpose, not mine. Last week we talked about this perspective, God's perspective, asking God to awaken us to his perspective. And I believe that God has a very specific perspective on purpose. If you're taking notes, there's a couple thoughts I want to give you today. Number one is this: my purpose is for God's purpose. My purpose is for God's purpose. We live in the world that wants us to live for ourselves. Just do whatever makes you happy. We were created not for my purpose, but for God's purpose. Following Jesus means yielding my purposes, my plans, my dreams to fall under the umbrella of God's purposes. Let my life be a reflection of my God. Let my life fall in submission to the purposes and the plans and the missions of Almighty God. One of my favorite characters in the Old Testament is David. David and Goliath, David the young shepherd boy. David was a farm boy who grew up with no line of royalty whatsoever until God one day showed up and in the pasture calls David to be the next king. Now, it would have been so easy if it would have been like, David, you're going to be king in 24 hours. But it wasn't. There was a long period of time building David into the position where he would assume the role as king. From the pasture, David went and served the king. And then he went and killed Goliath. And then he went and hid from the king. It's kind of crazy. Like, the king at the time wasn't ready to give up the throne, and it was time for David to take over. So he sends all of the king's guard to go after David, to take after him. It was a long journey for David to go from you're going to be king to actually sit in the throne. And in one of those instances where David was hiding from the king, he wrote Psalm chapter 57. It's a great reminder. Verse 2 simply says this: "So I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me." I love that David didn't write this in past tense. "So I call out to the God Most High, who has proven that he is called to fulfill the purpose he has for me." No, he said this in faith. God, I know what you told me, and right now the king is trying to assassinate me. It's not looking good. But in faith, I surrender my will and my purposes, knowing your will and your purpose will be fulfilled. I would imagine David even wrote it as a reminder. God, I need to remind myself that right now I'm scared, I'm intimidated, I don't know really what's going to happen, but I know that your word stands true, and you said you would do it, so I trust that you will. God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for you, and God has a purpose for me, and the reason that I was created, the reason the God of the universe took the time to specifically design and create you and I is that we have a role to play in the mission that God has established on this planet. You and I are part of God's redemptive plan to the people on planet Earth. If we could just pause for a quick second and look at this at a different perspective. A few weeks ago, we talked about the presence of God and how sin separates us from the presence of God. And we sometimes, as Christians or as pre-Christians, we have this misunderstanding of what sin is. We think of sin as this gross, vile, disgusting behavior. Sin is more disease than it is behavior. But if we took the Greek definition, the Bible definition of what sin is, in its simplest form, the word is hamartia, which means to miss the mark. Like in the context of if I'm shooting a bow and arrow, if I'm an archer and I loose the arrow and I miss the mark. Whatever something was created for, if we use it outside the context of what it was created for, we miss the mark. When God designed something with purpose, when God put something into place, like a relationship, like intimacy, like integrity and honesty, and we miss the mark of what God designed it for, we're really living in sin. Because we've missed the mark of what God designed it for. And sometimes, like, we just blow right past that like it's no big deal. Like, Jesus called us to a mission, and when we miss the mark, we've kind of let the mission go. We've put self above mission. Built into our DNA, like, is this draw to be on this mission with the creator of the universe. God knew what he was doing when he designed us and constructed us and put us right here today, on this day, on this planet, on this time, specific to the mission. And when we put self above mission, we miss the mark. But we still have that desire, like, inside of us. And when that doesn't get fulfilled, that validation or that fulfillment, we search after it in other places. So we go looking for this validation. Why am I here? In many other places, we experiment for those fulfilling pieces of, like, why did God put me and design me this way? Well, if I can't find it in Jesus, and because no one showed me or I haven't taken it serious, then I'm going to look for it in other places. And when we do this, like, it makes sense why so many people are experimenting, trying to find validation, trying to find fulfillment in a feeling, in a posture, in a whatever makes you happy. We all want to know, why am I here? What is my purpose? What's the purpose of what I'm going through? What's the purpose of fighting for what I'm fighting for? God made me on purpose. God knew what he was doing when he designed me, when he placed me here in his timing. And in his perfect plan, God knew what he was doing. He created you with purpose, on purpose, for his purpose. God's perspective on purpose is, my mission is his mission, and my purpose is his purpose. Number two, God's perspective on purpose So when I understand that, I don't try to discover my purpose anymore. Instead, I serve God's purpose. That seems kind of simple. Like, if we're being honest, today's content is very simple and maybe you might even say trivial, but we miss it so often, I feel like we got to address it to be able to have God awaken us to his purpose. I serve God's purpose. All throughout Scripture, there are trends, like trends that we understand, like this is how God moves, this is how God's character allows him to move. So, for example, like God has a great trend of giving more to people who are generous. We think of it the opposite. We think when God gives us more, we'll be generous, but God waits until we give and we're generous with whatever we have, proving to God that we will be generous when we do have more, and then God shows up and always provides more for us to be generous with. God's got a trend where God never promotes someone who's trying to promote themselves. There's an old saying, whenever pride walks on the stage, God walks off. God is not in the habit of elevating someone who's already elevated themselves. Instead, God looks for people who are serving him no matter where they are. Because here's what I know. If you're not willing to serve God behind the scenes, God will never use you to serve on a stage. We have this idea that if I can just promote myself, elevate myself, show off my gifts, my talents, my abilities, it's what everybody else in the world would tell us to do, right? If you want to be known, you want to be promoted, you got to make yourself look good. And God would say, hold on, if you want my blessing on this, you serve behind the scenes first. You serve in a way where you don't get recognized. And here's what I love to say. The greatest ability that God is looking for in us as believers is our availability. He can add any other gift that he wants to, but if we don't make ourselves available for the mission, what's God going to do? Well, you're not available. I can't use you if you don't submit to become available. So we're a servant. God's purpose is for me to serve. One of my favorite promises in the Bible, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says this, it's pretty simple, and we know that God causes everything to work for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I think sometimes as Christians, we maybe hear this promise and we just think of it in like a name it, claim it kind of thing. Like whatever's going on in my life, God's going to use it to work out for good. And I don't believe that to be entirely true because there's more to the verse. God works everything together for good for those who love God. Okay, we got that. And are called according to his purpose. When I submit my life to the purposes of Jesus, I fall under that umbrella of God's purpose for me. And under that umbrella, God is working behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, from the stage, and from the back to work things together for good. But when I'm trying to fulfill my own purpose, when I'm trying to fulfill my own desires, when I'm trying to you do you and do whatever makes you happy, I think you've stepped outside of that umbrella. God's not concerned with working things out for good when you're trying to work yourself out of his will. But instead, when we're under the umbrella to submit, God, I love you, and I'm submitted my plans, my purposes, my practices to you. It changes the way we live our everyday life. It changes our perspective on our everyday life. It eliminates phrases like, well, that's just not my job. Or my job is only to be a mom. And my job is only a laborer. And my job is only a business owner. And my job is only a farmer. And my job is only a servant. Listen, God has specifically created you, designed you, and placed you right where he is with the purpose of changing the world in the name of his son, Jesus. So whatever your responsibility, your skill set, your job is, everything you get to do falls under the umbrella of I can utilize this in my surrendered will and surrendered plans to Jesus to change the world in his name. God, use me for your purpose. Perspective number three, when I'm serving God's purpose, I'm serving God's people. It sounds so trivial, it sounds so simple, and it's so, so powerful, and we miss it. It would be so much easier if every morning we got up, the alarm goes off, you check your phone, you got a text message from Yahweh. Hey, today, here's your list of to-do. Thanks, God, it's good. But we don't get that luxury. We don't get that simplicity. Instead, we get this. My purpose for today is my faithfulness to Jesus. That seems too simple, Pastor. There's got to be something bigger. Like, I want to wake up in the morning, and I want a spotlight to shone down from heaven right at my front door. That's good. I want a toilet made of solid gold. We don't always get what we want. My responsibility, my purpose for today is faithfulness to Jesus. And my purpose for tomorrow is faithfulness to Jesus. And my purpose for next week is faithfulness to serve Jesus. And my purpose for going to work, and my purpose for going to class, and my purpose for sitting at the dining room table, and my purpose for doing third grade homework, and my purpose for everything I do fits under the umbrella of I yield my plans and purposes and preferences to God's purpose for me. Matthew chapter 20, Jesus says, among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be a servant. Verse 27, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. Verse 28, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. There is an undeniable supernatural joy and validation and fulfillment when we understand that we were designed and created to be part of something bigger than me. And it's not something I need to spend years searching out, and it's not something I need to purchase, and it's not something that I need to go and chase after. Once I've realized that it's been purchased for me, then I just chase Jesus. And my purpose is revealed in my faithfulness to him. This is why I was created for today. This is why I was created to be part of this mission. Whatever you do, we do to serve our God and to serve his people. If God has built you with the desire and the skill set to be an entrepreneur, we don't use that to build our kingdom. We use that to serve his people. So we create opportunities for God's purpose to be revealed in the skills and the gifts that he's given you to serve people. So if you're an entrepreneur, create something that serves people. If you're a business owner, create an environment where people can be served through your business, through your work, your staff, your volunteers, whoever you're using can be served through your business. If you're a caregiver or a teacher, don't just try to use your title and lean on your title. Live in such a way to where you make a remarkable difference in the people that you teach and the people that you care for. Let people know through your actions, through your words, that they are cared for by the creator of the universe. Parents, we don't just parents to get our kid to 18 and kick them out of the house. We are growing tiny humans that will one day soon change the world. So parent them in a way that they know what unconditional love looks like. And parent them in a way where they know what it looks like to forgive. And they know what it looks like to challenge. And they know what it looks like to correct. But they know what it feels like to be loved. It changes the way we live. To let go of self. To let go of selfish ambition. To let go of selfish plans, purposes, and desires. And to lean in for God's mission and purpose for me. That's right where we are today. So we serve God's people today. I don't need a position or a platform or power to serve. In fact, I'll never get one of those things from God until I'm willing to serve today. So when we submit to God, when we submit to God's purpose and plan, it automatically moves us to a place of serving our God and serving people. I stand before you today. Unqualified, underexperienced, sometimes uncertain of how I got to be here. But I know this to be true. I don't try to promote myself. I've never asked someone to put me on a platform or a stage. I would tell you I'm not very good at a lot of things, but one thing that I know I'm good at, I know how to serve people. I know how to submit to my God and to serve people. And I didn't get here because I ran a good campaign. I got here because I just served. And I stand before you humbled because every time I've served my God and loved his people, he opens doors that I never would have dreamed. He opens doors and opportunities that amaze me and that just blows me away of how did I get here. I don't think it was because I elevated self. I just wanted to serve Jesus. Number four, live sent. Luke chapter 10 has kind of been our anchor for this whole series. Luke chapter 10, really simple stuff. There's this little nugget tucked into the beginning of Luke chapter 10 that I don't want us to miss. Luke chapter 10 verse 1 says, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to the town and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers to the fields. I spent a lot of time growing up in my dad's business. He had a construction business. It was a farm repair business, farm construction business. And I spent a lot of time, like you could say, apprenticing. By apprenticing, I mean like the first 15 years of my life, I was the tool retriever. My dad would be working on something high up in the air, under the ground, doing whatever. And I would hear, hey, well, that was my cue. Need a 9/16 wrench. And he would send me after the wrench. And then like, as I matured, as I got a little bit better at the job, as I got a little more understanding of what was going on, like he increased his level of trust and would send me after parts. Then eventually got to a place where he would send me to make parts. And then eventually got to the place where like he would send me to a job site on my own. I would just tell you, at every level, there was a level of fear and anxiety. Like, what if I mess this up? What if I get the wrong tool and I pull it on the rope 125 feet in the air and it gets all the way to the top and he's holding on by his toenails and I give him the wrong tool? What if I go and I build a part and I build it backwards or I build it wrong? What if I go to this job and I go to the wrong place and totally mess this up? Like, there was always this level, but there was something in me that knew he wasn't just hoping I would get it. He sent me. He had confidence in me to know that when I got there, I would know what I was looking for. He sent me. He knew that when I got there, I'd know what I needed to build. He was confident that he had trained me well enough that when I got to the job site, when he sent me to the job site, that I could do the very thing he was asking me to do. So Jesus has this conversation after he's died and he's come back to life and he sits down with the disciples. He's only got this small window of time. So he's just pouring this simple, powerful truths to the disciples who actually were kind of experiencing this same thought, the same inadequate feeling. John chapter 20, verse 21 says, "And he," so Jesus, "he said, peace be with you." And I love that. In those times where the mission feels overwhelming, in those times where your purpose feels greater than you could ever accomplish on your own, Jesus already recognized it, and he gives a simple instruction. "I'm the Prince of Peace. I already brought it to you, so just accept it. Peace be with you." To the disciples, to the followers of Christ in 2021, peace be with you. He goes on, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Nowhere in the New Testament do we read Jesus' words, "your mission, should you choose to accept it." Jesus says much more like, "This is the mission I'm sending you. This is the mission I'm sending you. This is the mission I'm sending you, and I'm sending you, and I'm sending you, and I'm sending you. This is the mission, and you are being sent by your heavenly Father who trusts you. Not only trusts you because of who he is, but he knows he's going with you. He is going with you as you go." Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The greatest perspective, calling on Jesus, your name registered in heaven. Paul continues on, verse 14. "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how can anyone go and tell without being sent?" This is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news." Church, I don't care what your spouse says, you have beautiful feet. Because Jesus has sent you to be the messenger. To be the messenger on mission with purpose to change the world. God created you on purpose, with purpose, for his purpose. He's got confidence in you to know that you've been sent and he goes with you. And it wasn't a request, it wasn't a question, it was an assignment. Go and make disciples. Go and show the love of Jesus. Go and share the good news. Go and reach and teach and multiply. Go and serve others. Go and serve our Savior. Go make an impact on the world. Go and glorify God through what you do. Not just to hope, but to help. To meet people where they are and to help them take their next step with Christ. Live with purpose. Live on purpose. And live to serve his purpose. And we change the world. Let me pray with you. Father God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you that Jesus sacrificed his life. And God, my only sensible response is to sacrifice mine. God, this life is not my own. My plans and my purposes, my dreams, God, I set them to the side. I submit to the mission that you've called us to follow Jesus, to reach the lost, to teach the found, to multiply the kingdom. God, whatever that looks like in my world, remind me of that this week. From the little intricacies of my daily routines, God, show me how this fits into your mission. And if it doesn't, God, correct me. Use that red ink that needs to be marked up and show me where I need to adjust or change my thoughts, my perspective. God, all that I have, I give it to you. God, all that I am, I will it to you. Jesus, I want to follow you like never before. Use me for your glory. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.